With that, take your Bibles this morning and turn to Isaiah chapter 9. And as it's already been stated, beginning today and over the next several weeks, we will be in a series, Unto Us, a Christmas series that I'm excited to share with you. But Christmas is always about a number of things, but certainly for those that are believers in Christ, we remember the fact that unto us Christ is born, unto us a Son is given, and it is Christ the Lord. And so with that, though, this time of year also has to do with lights. And there is a connection to some of the scripture that we'll find and look at in Isaiah chapter 9 this morning. But before we get there, I want us to look at some lights this morning together as we prepare to allow God to speak to our hearts today. That is Brenda and I's house in Broken Arrow. There it is. I did every bit of that. No, that's that is not us. But look at some of these others, these Christmas light displays. You know, folks, just get a little bit crazy. You can keep scrolling through. Look at that one, pretty. They're all beautiful. A lot of manpower hours go into that. Some of them might, you could say, fall on the gaudy side. You know, some of you men might identify with this, but for me personally, I see things like that, and all I can think of is the electric meter just going, bzzz, you know, just spinning. So there is some of that which is Christmas, and it is. It helps us maybe get into the Christmas spirit. But church, I want to remind us this morning that light and Christianity are forever linked. In fact, in the English Standard Version, the ESV version of the scriptures, if you were to find out and you wanted to know, some almost 250 times light is referenced in the scriptures. So there's obviously something about light. In fact, the Bible tells us that God Himself is light, that He is the source of light, and that in Him, in light, there is no darkness at all. Evidently, I missed this. I did not know this. Some of you probably already knew this, and you celebrated in whatever way would have been appropriate. But in the year 2015, just a few years ago, that was dubbed or considered the year of light. So if you missed it like me, well, join the crowd. But light and Christianity is important. And so as we look at this morning, let's look beginning in verse 1 of Isaiah chapter 9. It says, "But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. For in the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the later time he has made glorious way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. For the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. For those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. For you have multiplied the nation and you have increased its joy. For they rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire." Those that had forgotten God's invitation simply to walk with Him and to walk in the light, to walk in the light of the Lord, God was bringing discipline. God was bringing His judgment. those that had forgotten God himself is the fountain of life. And in his light do we see light. There would be a time of darkness and gloom. God would use the Assyrians. The Assyrian army would be coming and they would plunge that area, specifically Zebulun and Naphtali, those that would eventually be some of the hardest hit and the earliest hit of God's judgment through the Assyrians and his discipline upon them for the rejection of his love and mercy and his grace. Church, I have to tell you, before I stepped up on this platform to hear Kat sing that original song was actually my second time. And I prayed, Lord, if you do anything today, in Jesus' name, may just as she sang, by the power of your Spirit, we would remember two things and know two things, that you are powerful. You are light. There is no darkness in you at all. And that not only that, would we remember that you are loving. So church, if you do tune out the rest of the time, know this, God is loving and he was powerful to meet you where you are, regardless of your circumstances or your situation. Because God always has something to say. And it's interesting, church, to me that this these very verses that we are looking at were the people who walked in darkness, they have seen a great light. Those that would experience God's judgment and discipline are the very ones that we find in the Gospel of Matthew. It's in chapter 4, these same verses referenced, where the Bible says that Jesus himself, in fact, it says it this way, and leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. That the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness, those that have seen a great light, and for those dwelling in the region and the shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. And then the Bible says, for that time on, Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is at hand. The very land where God's discipline would come would be the very same place that the Old Testament prophet Isaiah's words would be fulfilled. Jesus preaching repentance, for the kingdom of God is at hand. You see, church, where there is gloom, when the light shines, there is hope. Where there is gloom and despair, there can be honor and there can be worship and there can be joy and there can be living in forgiveness and the freedom that comes from knowing Jesus Christ. So desolate and so sad is the world in places where there is no knowledge of Jesus Christ, where the lostness is so thick and so deep and so dark. But church, aren't we glad that even at a specific time of year when Southern Baptists remember one Lottie Moon and that offering that is named after her, that there are those that not only can we pray for, but we can give our financial resources so that those go in our stead. And they are a light in a very dark and despairing place to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And just like the light that came into this world, the light that we rejoice in and we remember in the birth of the Christ child, the light that we rejoice in the light of Bethlehem, in the light of Calvary, in the light and the reality and the faith and the trust and the hope that we have in the return of Christ. That light shines into the darkness of people's hearts and turns gloom to honor and to worship. But it also turns darkness to light. For the scripture says that they walked in darkness, but now they have seen a great light. And where there is a land that was deep in darkness, the light has shone. The people have seen a great light. The Bible says that God, through His grace and by His mercy, He transfers us from the power of darkness into the kingdom of the Son that He loves. Edward J. Young, in his commentary on the book of Isaiah, speaking of these verses and of the message of Isaiah, in the place of darkness of calamity, the people saw the light of peace and blessedness. In a place of great darkness of death, the people saw the light of life. In the place of the darkness of ignorance, the light of knowledge. And in the place of the darkness of sin, the light of salvation. For the darkness was a shadow of death, for it was deep and of death, such as could be removed only by the light of life. You see, the light removes and replaces with life and joy and peace. It removes that which is darkness and that which is gloom and that which is death. And it replaces with joy and peace and light. And it moves to a time and a reality of joy. Verse 3 says, "For you have multiplied the nation and you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with the joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil." The prophet gives us examples of that which is joyous occasions. I shared this in the first service. I am not a person of, I used to, I had the right attire. I wore Wrangler jeans. Isn't that what cowboys wear? I wore Wrangler jeans. I wore a cowboy-looking belt. Had my name on the back of it. I guess if it was, I forgot my name. I don't know, but had my name on the back of my cowboy-looking belt. I wore Wranglers. I wore cowboy boots. But I don't know a thing about farming, agriculture, any of that stuff. But I do know this, that there is great rejoicing in that arena or that area, that way of life, when all of the work and all of the toil and all of the labor, whether it be in the livestock and all of that stuff, or whether it be in the crops, when the harvest comes in, there's great rejoicing. He also references the joy of the conquering army that conquers and wins the battle over its enemy. And the Bible says it this way, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. See, church, sometimes some people have so much bondage and oppression and despair, they can't see any hope or joy. They can't seem to believe that there can be victory. But church, I want to remind us that there is victory in Christ, because the Bible says that we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. We are conquerors because He has already conquered. Church, it's kind of graphic wording, but it really means this. When it says in verse 4, "For the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian, and for every boot of the tramping warrior in his battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood, it will be burned as fuel for the fire." It is a way of simply saying this, that which Jesus accomplished upon the cross is complete, and there is victory in him. And so, is it any wonder that when a great light has shone in the land of darkness and the nation is multiplied, there would be no longer gloom, but there would be honor, and there would be worship, and there would be gratefulness, and there would be thanksgiving, and there would be praise, and there would be joy. You see, church, that's why, spiritually speaking, Christmas should be, and I know it's not always, it's just not. I mean, I'm starting to get a little stressed out. I've not bought one Christmas gift. Not one. Anybody else? Come on. Yay. I'm not alone. We're going to have prayer together after the service so that we can. It is. It's hard. And people, it's stressful. It can be a difficult time. You know, that first Thanksgiving, that first Christmas, where there's now that empty seat, that empty place at the table. The one who did things and led the charge is maybe now no longer there. It is. It can be difficult. But church, the joy of Christmas is that a child is born unto us. A son is given unto us. And it is Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, the light of the world. So we can be joyful, should be joyful. That light changes not only and chases away darkness and brings that which is gloom and despair to honor and to worship. Where there may not be much joy, now there is joy. It also changes war to peace. We're reminded of in this section of Scripture that one of the names that is given to Emmanuel, God with us, that is the Christmas story. God incarnate. Maybe not coming as that conquering king, but as a babe lying in a manger. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. He's the wonderful counselor. But notice, church, one of the names in this section of Scripture in verse 6 is that he is the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and of the peace, his peace, there will be no end. That's why Jesus would tell his disciples in the Gospel of John, the Scripture says Jesus is not far from going to the cross. His time with his disciples is coming to an end. And he's told them, if you love me, just remember me and keep my commandments. And he tells them, I'm going to ask the Father so that you won't be alone, you'll have a helper. But he says, I've spoken these things to you while I am with you. And in verse 27, he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you, for let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And I was reading and preparing about this, and I read even something last night where a fellow wrote, think of it, it's not our peace, it's His peace. Last night, in between services, I had to tell my sweet wife, I said, hey, by the way, I said, sorry for last night, man. I just, you know, thanks for the dinner that you made. I mean, guys, she made like homemade. It was what's that lady? I can't remember. What's her name, honey? Who? Yeah, Paula Deen. Anything Paula Deen, it's got about 8 sticks of butter in it. And she made some kind of chicken, Paula Deen chicken pot pie. And, you know, I was just griping and complaining. I just wasn't. She goes, yeah, you kind of took it out on me. And I said, now, wait a minute. Whoa, hey. I didn't really take it out on you. And she goes, no, that's right, you didn't, but you just were kind of grumpy. And I said, yeah, I was. Sorry about that. And maybe that's why I had to do what I did last night. And all that leads to say this. In Pastor Brian's grumpiness and moodiness last night, I was sitting there and I was thinking about God's peace. And I had just read those words that I just shared with you where one other person said, think of it. It's not our peace, but it's His peace. And think of the disciples as Jesus said, my peace I give to you. And I've thought about the times I've tried to get peace my way. The things that I think bring me peace, but those things don't last. They're temporary. They're not eternal. It's really His peace that we need because He is, after all, right, church, the Prince of Peace. And so I was sitting out in the living room. Nobody was in the room with me, probably because I was grumpy. And they're all in the kitchen, and I screamed out. I didn't scream. I called out. I said, hey, guys, I'm going to say something, and you just, whatever phrases or if a word comes to you or you have some thoughts, just let me have it. Let me hear them. So this is what I said. Tell me, what do you think of when you think of God's peace? And one person said, I know this, it's different. And I wrote that down. Here it is, church, all my chicken scratch. I wrote it down as they called stuff out. I wrote down big the word different. That's why Jesus said, it's my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Because the world's peace has nothing to do with the peace that we need, which is God Himself, His light, because He is light. And so I wrote that down. And then somebody else, I think it was my daughter-in-law, said, when I think of God's peace goes, it goes further. It goes deeper. So I wrote those words down. I thought, she's on to something there. See, that's what grouchy, grumpy people do. They let other people prepare the sermon for them because they're not in the Spirit. And I thought about that. I thought, man, Lord, that's right, because the world's peace is so on the surface. It doesn't get to the heart of the matter and what really matters. So I wrote that down. God's peace is different. It goes further. It goes deeper. And then somebody else said, you know, it's when I think of God's peace, it's not an outward peace. It's that what God is doing inside, inward. And then somebody else, and here it is, I wrote it down. He can definitely calm the storm. And he can. Some of us would testify this morning if we weren't Baptists. We'd testify a little bit. Because God in his goodness and his grace came when we needed that storm calmed, and he did it. But you know, church, he doesn't always do that, does he? In fact, most of the time, God in his mercy and in his sovereignty, he doesn't do that. He doesn't calm the storm so that we can step out of the boat and walk on the calm waters. What he does is he gives us himself in the midst of that storm. And though our life may be chaotic and may be turned upside down, there's still peace because he's given us himself. And then finally, it was my son. He said, what's that verse? I think it's somewhere in Isaiah. You keep him. You keep those, anybody know the verse? In perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. You keep us in perfect peace. Though everything may be in shambles around us, there is this peace. It's not the absence of turmoil and conflict, but it's this supernatural peace that comes from knowing that now I am right with God. I'm in a right relationship with him. It's now that we walk in the light as he is in the light. And we have fellowship with one another, knowing that the blood of Jesus, the Son, the light of the world, has cleansed us from all sin. We have some lights that are on our back porch in our house. They're not Christmas lights. They're decorative lights. It's the thing that you do, I guess. You put decorative lights on the back of your house. And I did help with those. I don't like doing Christmas lights. Amen. That's right. I don't like it. But I did help with those. And they're nice. I like, and Miss Brenda, she put those, you know, I helped her get those lights up there. And then, you know, this is all her thing, and she's a lot smarter than me. And so she got one of those things, and we plugged the lights in, and it's got a timer on it. And every evening, those lights come on at a certain time. And when they come on, that which was dark is now all lit up. And you can see, and it's pretty, and you enjoy those, and it's nice, and all that good stuff. But then, at a certain time, according to that timer, the lights cut off. And I got to thinking about that in regards to this message. For the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. And you know what, church, in this Christmas season, as we celebrate the light of the world, though there is darkness and there is difficulty and there is pain and there is suffering and there is all kinds of sadness and sorrow. And sometimes, church, even in this old world, it seems like things are darker rather than lighter. But that's why, church, even coming back like on a Sunday night on December 9th to celebrate Christmas through worship and through song. It's absolutely worth it, and our hearts and our spirits need it, because we need to be reminded that the light of God has come into the world, and that light is never going to be shut off. Regardless of how dark or despairing or difficult it may be, the light of God has come. And there is hope, and there is peace, and there is joy. And there is reason to worship. Because what a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus, the light of the world. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that as the scripture tells us, you are light. You are the source of our light, according to Psalm 27, verse 1. That you clothe yourself in light as with a garment. And Lord, as your people, we can let that light shine. Help us this Christmas season to experience the light and the joy that is Christmas. The incarnation of God with us. Father, I would pray that if anyone does not know the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the love that is in the message of the gospel, they would know it and find it. Because you have allowed them to see who you are in all of your splendor and all of your glory and all of your majesty. They don't have to know everything. They just have to know that you love them because you sent Jesus for them. Where there is healing, Lord, I pray healing would come. Where hope is needed, replace despair with hope today. For you are the light of the world, and that light has come. In Jesus' name, amen.